we're tracking the Keep People on Payrolls money going through Congress. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. The House of Representatives is expected to pass new coronavirus relief money. It got through the Senate yesterday. Among other things, the nearly half a trillion dollar bill would replenish the program to help small businesses avoid laying people off, a program that has run dry. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is on the line from Washington. What is in this?
There's $310 billion for loans for small businesses. That's the Paycheck Protection Loan Program, with $60 billion set aside for small lenders. There's also another $60 billion for Small Business Administration disaster assistance loans and grants. And there's $100 billion for hospitals and testing.
And the next move in this process?
The House will probably vote tomorrow, and President Trump says he'll sign the bill. They'll get the new Paycheck Protection Loan money flowing, but David, it's going to be used up very quickly. And that's according to David Pomeran, general counsel for the Consumer Bankers Association.
We expect that those funds will help, but they're going to go very quickly. Most likely, that funding will likely be depleted within 48 to 72 hours.
Now, congressional leaders say there will be another aid bill after this one. They're not saying how much could be in it for small business loans, but Democrats say they'll insist on more money for state and local governments. And President Trump has tweeted his support for that. He says some of the money could go toward infrastructure, things like bridges, tunnels, and broadband.
Nancy's one of our Washington reporters. A report from the World Bank just released this hour warns that money sent from abroad by migrant workers to their families could fall by as much as 20% this year, given the restrictions of the pandemic. The bank says a reduction in what are called remittances could increase poverty and reduce access to health care. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker filed this for us.
The World Bank president, David Malpass, describes remittances as a vital source of income for developing countries. He says they help families afford food, healthcare, and basic needs. But the report warns that migrant workers are especially at risk of losing their jobs and incomes in the economic disruption caused by the pandemic. The bank says it's likely to lead to a fall of more than $100 billion worldwide, equivalent to a 20% reduction, with somewhat larger percentage declines for Africa and South Asia. The report also says that remittances are likely to be even more important as a source of funds in developing countries this year, as foreign investment is expected to fall even more. The bank has a long-standing concern about the cost of sending remittances, which have to be borne by migrant workers and their families. These costs have come down, but the average remains more than double the target of 3% agreed through the United Nations.
Andrew Walker at the BBC. As we've been reporting, the price of crude oil dropped below zero this week. The June futures contract is now running at a still low $14 a barrel, causing dread in America's oil patch and is unsettling to anyone who sees low oil demand as an indicator of a very sick world economy.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Economists are weighing in with newly published papers trying to better understand what the pandemic might do to everything. Investment returns, wages. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been reading the new work. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Give us a sense. I mean, already there are studies.
There are, and they're looking into the economic history of pandemics, and then they're taking their models and trying to adapt them for additional economic insights with the pandemic and using technologies like online surveys and Facebook connections to capture almost in real time unfolding trends.
Now, pandemics have had powerful economic effects through the ages. Give me some, I don't want to say highlights, give me some lowlights.
One that stands out comes from the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco, and the paper is The Longer Run Economic Consequences of Pandemics. So these scholars included in their study 15 major pandemics.
What'd you learn?
So the death toll from pandemics, horrible. The economy takes a huge hit, of course. But they found that the long-run economic results, they're somewhat more mixed, and the effects, the reverberations, last for about 40 years on average. So for example, inflation-adjusted rates of return on assets, so the real return on assets, were substantially depressed. Inflation-adjusted wages gradually increased. And there could be a number of reasons behind that, David, but probably because labor is scarce.
It's just, you know, people sick or people who've died from disease is a bad way to squeeze the labor supply so that wages go up, of course. Now, you mentioned using technology like social media to get a current read on what might be happening with the economy and the pandemic in more real time.
Right. So one of the big divides in society right now is between people who can earn an income by working remotely at home and those who can't. So there's this MIT online survey, and they looked into teleworking, and the survey ran from April 1 to April 5th, 25,000 responses. And what they found is that of those employed 4 weeks earlier, more than one-third had converted from commuting to working from home. So if you take it all together, nearly half their survey sample is working from home.
And you and I can both attest that I guess the conversion can be made to work at home, right?
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, from an undisclosed location somewhere in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And superstar couple A-Rod and J-Lo are reportedly working with J.P. Morgan to raise capital from other investors to buy the New York Mets. Variety is reporting this, and we do know the majority owner of the Mets, the Wilpon family, has been interested in selling the ball club. It's not strange for retired athletes and other stars to take smaller stakes in pro teams. What's perhaps slightly weird is that Jennifer Lopez is from the Bronx, home not of the Mets but the Yankees. The Mets play in Queens, and need we point out that Mr. Rodriguez was a Yankee? David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report here from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.